Welcome to the Evolving Accountant Podcast. We all know that some accountants can be boring, but definitely not this one. Why talk trial balances and P&L when we can get ripped jeans into the boardroom and hear business insights from people who have really walked the talk? Get ready. Here comes an all-new episode with your host, Darren Wingfield.
Hi, Carrie, and welcome to the show today. For the listeners of the show, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, but more importantly, why you get out of bed every morning?
I get out of bed every morning really with quite a lot of enthusiasm because I love what I do. I run a small French bistro. To give a tiny bit of background as to who I am and why I started the bistro, I'm Scottish. I went to Edinburgh University. I did French. I lived in France quite a lot throughout my 20s. I worked in the ski industry and worked in the French Alps, and I also ran a bar for some friends in France. So when I decided to open the bistro, it was a no-brainer. It had to be French food because I love French food. I know a bit about it. There isn't really anything quite like us in the area. That's why I decided to go down this route. But yeah, what gets me out of bed, I really love cooking and running the restaurant. Love it.
Cool. So you mentioned a little about your career there and your journey and going across to France skiing and stuff. Ultimately, filling in the checks between them things. So went to Edinburgh Uni there. Did you go straight across to France straight after uni?
I worked in London for maybe a year, and then I moved over to France. I did 6 months a year, 3 consecutive years for a ski company, and then worked in London just doing sort of admin stuff when I came back. I ran a barbecue as well in France. I ran a barbecue for 6 months in Wandsworth in London in between my ski jobs.
So have you always been, is that desire and that need for food or always been there within your career, that cooking?
Not at all. The only professional cooking I had ever done until the restaurant was in fact working in that barbecue. I ran a barbecue where we had a rotisserie, and it was quite a big business, actually. It was a big business. It was a very hot summer, and it was a very full-on job. It was, I think, from April to October we ran it. No, I haven't worked in food at all, apart from that.
What was the drive to get into the industry?
A genuine love of cooking for my family and friends. That's it, a genuine love of cooking and of hosting.
If I was saying, what would be your signature dish?
I don't know. I make a very good French onion soup. I'm not going to lie. And that's not as easy to do as you might think. Yeah, make a good French onion soup. I think my signature dish would be tarte tatin, which is the upside down apple tart with the puff pastry. Yeah, if you ask my customers and my staff what would be the signature dish, I think it would have to be tarte tatin.
Okay. I'm feeling hungry already with this one. I'm going to go. Obviously, you mentioned around the French theme, the French style. Then talking about obviously the location as well. It's quite a unique one with the building and where it's based in the great little pit village of High Pittenden, based in County Durham. Correct us if I'm wrong. Is the building over 200 years old as well?
Yes, it is.
In the middle of fields is the best way to describe it.
Yes, it's in a small village. We live in a lovely countryside. No, it's not your obvious spot for a French restaurant. No, touch wood, we've done well so far. People do drive to come to see us. It's been fine. But yes, it's not what you might expect to start up a French restaurant.
Going into that a little, so obviously we're in the middle of the pandemic, and one, obviously your industry, your sector is one of those that was heavily impacted during it. Just wanted to talk a little bit more about that, and we've seen a lot of trades or businesses went into the takeaway industry very quickly at the start of it. Then we had the eat out to help out. Then we had half your numbers or half your number of tables in your restaurant for social distancing. And then we've always now got the ever-changing rules and regulations around it as we continue to develop and find out more. Just wanting to get your take on it as a business owner in that sector, how you've sort of had to pivot, how you've threaded and overall just that general feeling of what the last 6 months has been like for as a business owner in the food and drink industry.
I took the decision to close the restaurant a few days before the government asked us to close. I felt it was clear that, without being too politically here, I feel it was clear we should have shut down the whole country before we did. And I didn't feel comfortable. It was leading up, the following week was leading up to Mother's Day when we closed. and we were fully booked. And I just thought, I didn't feel I wanted the responsibility of having a full restaurant when there was clearly a virus moving around. So we closed before we were told to. We didn't go straight into takeaway for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to really think properly about what I thought the takeaway offering should be, because a lot of the items on our regular menu were not easily going to be put into boxes for suitable takeaway. But the other thing is that having worked for three and a half, including the renovation, 7 years without a break, it was a good opportunity to catch up with myself. So I cleared out the cellar, I cleared out my loft, I hired a skip and just cleared out everything that had accumulated over the years. So I took full advantage of the time that I had. But then we did open for takeaway in May. We started doing takeaway, which was actually quite successful. And then on the 4th of July, we were told that the restaurants could reopen with proper COVID secure measures in place. So we spent quite a lot of money on hand sanitizing machine and PPE, all this kind of thing. We feel we are in a we have made things very, very safe. The other part of your question, eat out to help out, we did not subscribe to that. I'm not convinced that was a very good initiative. I know a lot of restaurateurs will not agree with me. When Sunak said that the average spend per person, the 50%, if you like, was £5, that means that they were spending £10 on their meal. And you have to wonder, where were people eating? They were not eating in restaurants like mine. They were probably eating in fast food outlets, the majority of people. And I felt that probably really wasn't what the government was trying to get people to do, to help the big American multinational companies. So I was very ambivalent about the whole initiative. So we didn't subscribe. Had we subscribed to that, we'd have been open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. We'd be open all the time. And I'm the only cook here. I couldn't have worked solid 7 days a week. But I don't think it was a well thought out scheme. There you go. That's my personal opinion.
I was talking to someone this morning on a different call, and it was about they did something with their artisans and doing different things and delivering food boxes, or it was part of the Local Heroes campaign in the Northeast. As soon as the shop started to open, them boxes where it was buying from, keeping the Northeast moving, it was like, right, I'm now going to go back to, oh look, McDonald's is open, I'm going to go and jump straight back and sit in the queue for 2 hours. And I think that was probably people's mentality shifted quite quickly on going from supporting local to McDonald's and that brand kicking back in.
Yeah.
As of today, where we were talking before, you're now reopened with reduced tables and measures in, but only on so many days at the minute. Is that linked to with you just being the only chef again?
No, not really. No, it's more to do with staffing, because you'll have heard this from lots of businesses I know, and you'll understand this. The idea of opening up fully and then having to close down again, then opening up fully and close down, you've got staffing issues. Do I bring more staff in to be open 5 days a week again? Or do I keep just a small core staff and be open for 3 days? It's just much more straightforward just to keep it compact the way it is and have three busy services. It's more economically sensible for me to do that. But also, if people come to me and get jobs with me now, and then we're closed down again, which I suspect will happen. I think the hospitality trade will be asked to close down again. I don't know, I'm guessing. You know, there've been murmurings in government about the feasibility of keeping hospitality open and schools. And schools have got to take precedence. You have to give priority to education. So if we have to close down in order to keep people at school, then I accept that. But I think it will happen.
It's an ever-changing landscape, like we say, isn't it? But okay, it leads perfectly on to the next question, where I think is probably a little bit up in the air at the minute. But as a business owner, I like to ask what you think is going to be around the corner for yourself, or what you're looking to develop or plan next. Obviously, we have to take legislation into consideration here, but is there any exciting stuff on the horizon for Bistro Seat Round Bit?
That's an interesting one. I think we'll keep on doing what we're doing for as long as we can. If we're closed down again, we will go back to takeaway, and we'll try to do some interesting offerings in terms of, you know, maybe try to do something a little bit different. No, I don't think we're going to be doing anything madly different or exciting. We'll see what happens, and then we'll adapt as the best we can. But it's a question really of opening and closing. I think that's what the future holds.
And at the minute, we don't know how long for. That is the answer.
No, they talked about six months, didn't they? And I that seems realistic to me, that we don't know when there's going to be a vaccine. Maybe it's going to be middle of next year. I don't suppose the hospitality life or anybody's life will go back to normal till next summer. Who knows?
It's all them Christmas parties and everything that was in consideration, and then the uncertainty around it, how it could just be give everyone a Just Eat voucher and everyone has a pizza over Zoom. Who knows?
Well, who knows? Obviously, restaurants rely on the November-December trade. It's the cushion that we all need to get us through January and February. We're not going to get that this year. So it's going to be tricky. But we have a very loyal customer base. I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine. We're not going to go under. And so many restaurants, as we know, have not reopened since March.
Yeah.
So I feel very fortunate that we were able to continue doing what we do.
Last couple of questions for myself. Looking back in history, sometimes a scary place, sometimes a very good place. What do you wish you had known out when you started this journey?
Wow. When I opened the restaurant, I had a chef. I didn't cook. I did front of house and the business side of things. I wish I'd known that I could have done it from the off, because I didn't start until a year and a half ago cooking, and I'm now the only cook. I really wish I'd known that. I wish I'd had the confidence to start off cooking myself. That would have saved me an awful lot of money.
What was the trigger for you deciding to become the chef instead of being that front of house?
There were two things. One is that when the chef was off, I filled in when he was on holiday or whatever, and I really enjoyed it. But the real trigger, I think, was looking at the accounts and seeing he was on a very good salary and for a chef, because chefing is not a well paid. He was on £30,000 a year. And looking at the figures, I was thinking, we're not doing so well. I'm going to have to find a way of saving some money somewhere. And that was it. So I made the chef redundant. He was a very good chef and he got a job immediately. And he's very happy where he is now. Yeah, I think I wish I'd known I could have started from the beginning. But the trigger was really a financial one. Plus the enjoyment that I got from covering when he wasn't here.
One of our core values is we love to learn. Really interested in how you learn, obviously, where you take advice from.
I don't read business books. I'm pretty naive where business is concerned, but we are in a fairly straightforward business. We buy food, we cook it, and we sell it. It's a very, very straightforward way of making a living, if you follow me. It's not as complicated as so many other businesses that you'll be dealing with. I don't have a very good business head. I do have a very good work ethic. Work. And at the end of the day, we're still going after 3.5 years. But I'm sure if I had a better business brain, I could be doing better than I am. But during lockdown, I spent a lot of time looking at Instagram and YouTube chefs' videos. And I've learned quite a few different cooking techniques, which I've fully put into practice since we reopened. So yeah, I like watching, I've always liked cooking, you know, cookery programs on television and things, but I don't really watch television now. I don't have much time. But when I've got a few minutes, I very often just click onto Instagram and look at any of the chefs that I follow, numerous chefs that I follow. And if they're doing a demo or something, I'll watch it. Love it. Yeah, Instagram and YouTube have been very helpful to me.
We need to know who your go-to chefs are now.
I love Bread Ahead Bakery. It's a bakery in Borough Market in Southwark in London. And there's a guy called Matthew Jones, who I've followed all through lockdown. He's done tutorials on bread making, donuts, loads of different things. I watch him a lot. I follow Tom Akins, Marcus Waring, Raymond Blanc, Claude Bossy, loads of people. And I love watching them cook.
The final question for me that people need to find out more about Bistro. So where do they find you? What's your on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter?
Yep. I don't do Twitter. I read Twitter, but I don't tweet. It's just a time issue, really. It's doing this job, because you're not just cooking. You're doing all the personnel, the food ordering, the accounts. You're doing everything. You don't have much free time, to be honest. Okay, Instagram, Facebook, and we have a website, a good website, which is...
And it's citronvert.co.uk is the website. And
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Bistro Citron Vert on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put the links in the show notes anyway, so people can make sure they can give you that thumbs up. And
citron vert means lime. It means literally green lemon, and that's what the French word for lime, citron vert.
Some more French inspiration. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for taking your time out. I'll let you get back into the kitchen. And
thanks, Darren.
Thanks for listening to The Evolving Accountant. You can find out more and get show notes for this and all our other episodes at theevolvingaccountant.co.uk.